Once again, we are in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. We are putting together a true recipe for revival. We talked about humility. We talked about prayer. And this morning, we're going to be talking about seeking God. The title of the messages you see in your bulletin is Seeking the Master Chef. Now, I'm not bragging or anything, but I do have a couple of cooking aprons that have something similar to that on mine. Y'all are not impressed, are you? Now, there's actually some in here that's actually had brain surgery, so I may refer to him. If Aaron, if you were looking for somebody to perform brain surgery on me, could I stand in and do it for you? Could I do it for you? Why not? Well, besides that. But I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so you know. No, you wouldn't. I mean, if you wanted to have brain surgery, you wouldn't go and you wouldn't have me or basically anybody else in here. Dan would probably be the most qualified, but no, but you and Dan says no too. But what is this? So, if I had, let me ask Colton, can you fix my car? You know that Mountaineer back? Why can't you? But I want you to. Could Colton do that? Could he fix my car? Maybe one day, but not now. Noah could fix it, yeah, probably. Here's the deal. If we want a better life, if we want to get closer to God, if we want all of our problems and issues in life to be solved, why in the world would you go to anybody else but God? If you're going to cook up a revival, why would you put it in the hands of a preacher? Why would you put it in the hands of a music service? Why would you put it in the hands of a church body? If you wanted true revival, why would you seek anyone else but God? And if you have a recipe that the Scriptures lines out for us to put together a revival, why would you not find the master chef to be able to do it? Let me tell you something. Just because I have all the ingredients to put together something at home to eat does not mean that it will taste well after I'm through. We shall see next month. At the chili cook-off, we will see once again. Now, that doesn't, you know, you see what I'm saying? We have to seek the one who will be able to take these ingredients and produce true results. To produce true revival in our land. What God has promised that if you'll let Him cook up this revival in our hearts, in our church, and in our nation. If you'll let seek Him, the Master Chef, and He will put together the ingredients the way it needs to go. He says He will hear us, He will forgive us, and He will heal us. What is the meaning of the word seek? I know many of us, almost every one of us when we were kids and some adults, who've got grandchildren, have played the game hide and seek. It is the responsibility of one to hide, and what's the other one supposed to do?
Try to find him.
Try to find him. Hide and seek. To go after. To desire. To go get. To aim, to search for. We are to seek Him. Let's read 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. That is the recipe, but it has to be prepared by the one, the only one, who can produce true revival in our hearts and in our churches and in our land. So what is it telling us? I think the first thing that we need to understand is that we need to seek God first. Seek God first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That goes with what we were talking about. If my car needs to be repaired, I go to an auto mechanic. If my head hurts, I go to a doctor. If I want to get married, I go to justice of the peace or a preacher. I mean, it's simple. We know who to go to in all circumstances of life, except when we run into the problems of life, and then we run to anyone else but the one who can fix it. We need to seek things from above and not in this world. The problems of this life, the true problems of this life, and it goes beyond cars and all the other things that goes wrong in our lives. But we need to seek things from above. Let's read Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. He says, if then you are raised with Christ. First off, is everybody in here raised with Christ? Are we His people called by His name? Okay. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created. Wow. The idea here is you're not of this world. You're living in it, but you belong to God. And what is the significance of looking above? Well, it seems like we're looking for God in all the wrong places. We're looking for peace in all the wrong places. We're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And God says, just look above. He's sitting right there. Jesus is sitting right there on the right hand of God. We need to put God first. In Ecclesiastes, He says, I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men, my man, by which they may be exercised. We got to put God first. Let me tell you a little story. One of his books, Charles Paul Kahn, he recalls a beginning of an unusual phone call that he made. He had seen a Yellow Page ad, a listing, for a restaurant in Atlanta. It was called the Church of God Grill. He couldn't get past the name, so he dialed the number and he got the owner on the phone. The owner goes, "Hello, Church of God Grill." And he asked how the diner had been given such an unusual name. "Well, we started a little church down here. And we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. People really liked the chicken. And we did such a good business that eventually we cut back on the church service. And after a while, we just closed the church altogether and we just kept serving chicken dinners. And we kept the name we started with, that's Church of God Grill." What's your priority? What are you putting first? Did God put them there to serve chickens? No, it was just a means to pay bills, but then all of a sudden it changed. You say, "Well, that's so wrong for them to do that." But isn't that what we do in our lives? We start putting something first, something enters our lives, and we begin to put it above church, above God, above everything else. And the next thing you know, we're full time in that business. We're putting it first, and God's work comes second. So what are your priorities? You see, in your life, you need to have priorities. When the Roman city of Pompeii was being excavated, the body of a woman was found mummified by the volcanic ashes. It's amazing what happens to those bodies. Her position told a tragic story. Her feet pointed towards the city gate, but her outstretched arms and fingers were straining for something that lay behind her. And what they found that she was reaching for was a bag of pearls. Through death, though death was hard at her heels and life was beckoning to her beyond the city gate, she could not shake off the spell of the money and those pearls. It wasn't the eruption of the mountain that made her love pearls more than life. It only froze her in her attitude of greed. Her priorities was not saving herself, but her priorities was keeping her money. And it killed her. If our priorities are the things of this world, it'll be a detriment to your life. You won't be where God wants you to be. If whatever it is that you're putting before God, that you're prioritizing before God, those things will end up hurting and harming you in your life. Because God wants you to put Him as a priority. You're going to have to seek Him. We're going to have to seek Him fervently in this life. That doesn't mean, "Oh God, where are you at? Oh, I don't see you. I'm going on. I sought Him." No, it means seek until you find Him. Man, I tell you, y'all know what happens when you lose your car keys. Even if you got a spare, you want to stay and you want to find those keys because it's going to drive you nuts until you find it. And you will seek and you will seek and you'll look. You'll turn over everything in the world until you find those car keys, even if you don't need it. You're going to seek fervently. And it's always someplace that you've already looked but didn't look close enough, right? Deuteronomy 4:29. It tells us, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." Look, God's not hiding from us. You realize that? He's not playing hide and seek with us. It's not like He's hard to find. We just got to be looking for Him. And we've got to look for Him with our whole heart and our whole mind. If you seek Him fervently, with your whole heart and your whole mind, you will find him. That is not a doubt. Let's look at Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find, and it will be open to you. This is not hard. But you got to really want to find him. You got to really seek him. And you got to look in the right places to find him. And you're going to have to prioritize your life in order to find him. One of the key things about the song, I can only imagine. It's one thing that just, it always sends chills down my spine when I read those words. What will I do when I'm face to face with Jesus? Will I be shouting, singing, dancing, say hallelujah, praise God, or will I just fall on my knees? You know, that moment's going to happen to each one of us, by the way. We will find him. But it's better to find him on this earth than to wait for that moment. You will find him if you look. If you're really looking to put him first in your life. When you do find him, I know one thing. You will be happy. Let's look in Psalms 119:2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. And then in Psalms 34:10, it says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. You'll be happy. You will be at peace when you find God and you seek him and you find him. How many of you ever lost something that was so valuable to you? And you looked and you looked and you looked and you just couldn't find it. And then one day, when all you thought was lost, and you pulled up that pillow cushion and there it is. How happy was you? I'll never forget. And there's been, this happened to me a couple of times when I've been cleaning out the car. And I look underneath the seat there. Guess what I find? $20 bill. I didn't realize I missed it. There it was. How happy you are when you find what is lost. And let me tell you, there's a lot of saved folk today, people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that he's come in and changed their hearts and their lives forever, and they feel like they've lost him. Telling you today, you can find him again, and he can be the center point of your life again, and you will be happy. Look in let me tell you about this. Robert Louis Stevenson. You know how I know you'll be happy? He tells of a storm that caught a vessel off a rocky coast and threatened to drive it and its passengers to destruction. And in all that mist of terror there on the boat, one daring man, contrary to orders, he went to the deck, made a dangerous passage all the way to where the pilot was, and he saw the steerman. He was lashed fast to at his post of holding that wheel. He was unwavering about it, and inch by inch turning the ship out once more to sea. He was struggling, but he looked in his face, and the pilot saw the watcher, and he just looked at him and smiled. He got that. Then that passenger went below, told them all, and he said, look, I've seen the face of the pilot, and he smiled, all is well. When you see, and when you meet Jesus, and you have been reunited with him in whatever way God wants you to be there, you'll know it'll be all right. It'll be just fine. We need to seek his face. Seek his face. When we, in Job 23:3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. Job was seeking him. Job had all kinds of stuff going on. Job was saying, where can I find him that I might come to his seat? He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to be with God. He wanted to be in that close relationship with him again. And he wanted to find out some answers about why his life was going straight downhill. When we seek God's face, it's not that he's hiding from us, but he will find us. Look in Psalms 14:2. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. He is waiting for you to seek him. He's waiting for you. He's not hiding. He wants you to come back to him today. He wants you to seek his face. He's not going to reach out and grab you and drag you along, but he is waiting for you to make the decision to find him again. We will meet face to face one day. There's a story about a kindergarten teacher who asked a boy what he was drawing. And without pausing to look up, he said, a picture of God. The teacher smiled and responded, but no one knows what God looks like. The boy put down his crayon, looked her squarely in the eye, and he said, after I'm done, they will. Can we draw a picture of God in our lives? No, we're not going to know his face. But we'll know him enough, well enough, that we can describe God to someone else. What it's like to be face to face with God. And yes, we meet through prayer. Because of humility, we can meet with God and we can see him face to face through his word and then through prayer, and we can know God. But we've got to seek him. Here's the problem. When we come face to face, we'll know the truth. And it's why so many people don't seek him. They don't want to know the truth. In Isaiah 6:5. So I said, woe is me. And this is Isaiah. He's literally meeting God face to face. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, when you meet Jesus, when you meet God face to face, then you realize that you don't measure up at all, that you're a sinner. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you've never made that profession of faith. You never asked him into your life. You've never repented of your sins. You've been running from him. If you've done that, if you've never done that, when you meet God, you'll see your sins. You'll recognize it. And you will be undone. And you will recognize that the only answer for your problem is him. And really, it's the same for us who have been saved. We've been relying too much on the problems, for the solutions of the world, for our issues and problems, but we fail to go to him, the one who can save us, the one that can help us. And when we meet him face to face, we realize how foolish we've been. In Amos 5:4, he says, for thus saith the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Not just the opposite of dying, but to live. God said that, Jesus said that he wanted us to have life and have it more abundant. He wanted us to have a great life. He wants us to have a full life. He wanted us to live in his presence. He wanted us to be his ambassadors. He wanted us to live a life that is pleasing to him and is pleasing to everyone around us. In Hosea 5:15, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction they will earnestly seek me. He says, I'm here waiting for them to acknowledge their offense. And when they acknowledge their offense, when they realize that they're wrong, that they're sinners, then they will seek my face.
It's the only, he says,
and this is kind of sad. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Sometimes the Lord has to put us in some difficult positions in life for us to actually look to God. Sometimes we get on cruise control in our life and we just forget all about God because everything's going well. But let me tell you what, when the walls come crashing in, when the walls come crashing in our life and we realize that we need Jesus, then we'll seek Him. I had a great opportunity yesterday to talk to someone. Well, the first words out of this person's mouth was, I need Jesus so badly in my life. Wow. This person was seeking Jesus. In Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. You may be thinking, I've got all the time in the world to get my life right with God, to find Him once again in my life. I got all the time in the world, and I can just a simple matter of just whenever I want to. The problem is, God, we're not guaranteed that He'll be found. Right now, I can tell you something without a doubt. That if you're here and you have need of Jesus in your life, whether it's for salvation or maybe you drifted away from Him, I can guarantee you one thing. If your conscience or you're being convicted by whatever it is that He's convicting you of, if He's doing that right now, you better not delay it. You better not say no. Because it says, call on Him while He is near. And I can't look on your hearts and tell if He's doing anything to your heart right now or not. But I have a feeling He is. I have a feeling that right now, simply because you're here, you're listening, and I believe He's talking to you. Isaiah tells us that you better seek Him while He may be found. And you better call upon Him while He's near. Can we this morning seek Him who can change our hearts and our lives? Instead of seeking all the answers that the world provides, instead of calling upon the names of men, call upon the name of God. Call upon His name. Ask Him to bring about the change that needs to happen in our lives and in our churches and in our nation. I don't know about you, but I am extremely concerned about our nation and the generation of people that are of our kids that are growing up godless in this nation. And I look around in our churches and I see churches who are dying. I see churches who are not reaching out to the lost and the dying, but withdrawing into the comfort and the safety of the church building. I see people who are so far from God, even though they're worshiping that God. I see people whose lives are in distress, but they refuse to turn to God for the solutions to it. If you humble yourself and you pray and you seek the only one that can revive our nation, revive our churches, revive us, then He promises us that He will hear us, He will forgive us, and He will heal us. This may be a crucial moment for you and for me. Are we seeking God And if He's here this morning dealing with your heart, maybe you're a saved child of God and you've fallen far from Him. You're not seeking Him in your life, putting Him as a priority. If that's the case this morning, call upon Him. Because I believe He's near, waiting for your answer, looking down, waiting for you to change, to call upon Him. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, you've never come to that saving, that's understood His salvation, where He comes in and changes you fundamentally from the inside out. If you've never done that, you've never said, "Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm dying, I'm going to hell, I need saving. Would You save me?" He'll do it. But if you've never done it, seek Him today, now. Call upon Him now while He's talking to you, while He's near. Don't let this morning pass. As we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I do not know your relationship with God. I do not know what God wants for your life. I don't know what He's talking to you about. All I can tell you is, if He's talking to you this morning, it means He's near. And you can call upon His name. If we have any shot at all of reviving our nation, our churches, and ourselves, and coming closer to Him, we have to seek Him to solve our problems and not this world. So as we sing this morning, if God is talking to you and dealing with you, would you hear Him? Would you call upon Him? And would you deal with whatever He is dealing with you about? So as we sing, would you allow God to touch your heart and change you this morning?
Number 517.